Hey, welcome back to The Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name's Ken Wedford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and this week I am once again joined by Reverend Eric Meyer, our Associate Pastor here. We're going to be taking a look at a little slice of paradise this week. Enjoy. I know I did.
Rogers, and I'm the Assistant Director of Children's Ministry here at First United Methodist downtown Bentonville. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah 65, verse 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and I will delight in my people. No more shall be the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit, and they shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God.
A picture of paradise, a glorious picture of paradise, a place that we can go to. As I was putting this sermon together this week, I was thinking of the images of paradise and how we can help bring paradise here. And I came across these words. Someone who is trying to help the lion lay down with the lamb and eat hay. I tried to give up my carnivorous habit. I made it nearly 70 days, losing weight without speed, eating sunflower seeds, drinking lots of carrot juice, soaking up rays. But at night, I'd have the most wonderful dreams. Some kind of sumptuous treat. Not zucchini, fettuccine. No, not bulgur wheat. The big warm bun. And a huge chunk of meat. A cheeseburger is paradise. It's heaven on earth with an onion slice. If you are of a certain age, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you also know I didn't write those words. But did you know that Jimmy Buffett has turned that song into a place that you can visit? It's true. I went to the website. It says on the website, Jimmy Buffett's famous song has become a place. Come join us at a cheeseburger in paradise and wave goodbye to the real world as you escape to paradise. Now, paradise, as I Google searched, is often described as a place like Jimmy Buffett is describing. A place where we can wave goodbye to the real world and escape. visiting with a family this morning that escaped to Disneyland last week. But it was lots of work. And I'm sure Cheeseburger in Paradise can be found there. But they still came home exhausted. No, paradise is a place we escape to and leave our troubles behind. And that has been the vision of human beings for as long as there have been human beings. We have some ancient stories, and the archaeologists have helped us. We know that about 7,000 years before Jesus, people started moving out of the mountainous highland areas of Turkey down into what is now called Iraq. In between the Tigris and the Euphrates, people settled. And they learned how to control the waters, the floodwaters. They were able to manage the silt in the spring so they would have fertile soil, and they were able to control the water for irrigation the rest of the year. And a massive civilization developed. A civilization the largest the world had seen. A civilization called the Sumerians. And the Sumerians had empire after empire that built over thousands of years. And about 2,500 years before Christ was the third empire of Ur. A city called Ur was their capital. And we know from Scripture that Abraham was called from Ur to settle in the land of Canaan. And the archaeologists help us to see that Abraham wasn't the only person to leave and settle in the land of Canaan, because the Sumerians created language as well. One of the first written languages is their language, and they wrote on clay tablets, and we find these tablets all throughout the Middle East. And they write about paradise. Some of the most important words that they could put down, or their vision of paradise. I'd like to share that vision with you. The land of paradise is a pure place. It's the place where Enki, the god of sweet water, laid himself down by his wife. That place is clean, and that place is bright. In paradise, the raven utters no cry. The lion does not kill. The wolf does not snatch the lamb. Unknown is the goat-killing dog. Unknown is the grain-devouring boar. The singer utters no wail. By the side of the city, he utters no lament. For the Samaritans, paradise is a beautiful place where there is no anger and there is no fear. It is the place that God lays down and rests. But it is also a place where people are not allowed. The Sumerians write that if human beings were allowed to bring their anger and selfishness to paradise, they would destroy paradise. So paradise is situated somewhere between the rivers in a place that human beings cannot reach. And we find the Sumerians' thoughts and images and visions spread throughout our scriptures. And often I think our prophets use them as a counterpoint to say, this is what those people think. This is the way God is. And I believe that is what we have in the scripture that we read today from Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah knows the people have grown up with the Sumerian thoughts and ideas. And he says, paradise for the Sumerians is a place that we cannot go. But that's wrong. Let me give you an image of paradise as God creates the world anew. A place where the people are a delight. And they are a delight to be with. It's a place where people can sink roots. When they build their houses, they can stay in those houses as long as they want to. They'll never become homeless, and nobody will ever take their home from them. And as I approach 50, this next part really speaks to me, because I think I'm just starting my life. And Isaiah says, when you become 100, you will be as a youth, just beginning your life. Generation upon generation upon generation, living together in community, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, knowing their grandparents, living close by them. And the work is satisfying. Every job brings joy because everyone gets to receive the fruits of their labor. Those who plant can harvest without blight. Those who herd don't have to worry about wolves destroying their flocks. And maybe the best news is that God dwells with God's people there, listening to what they say and speaking to them. This image is not heaven. Heaven is a place you go to after you die. Yes, we have eternal life. Heaven is a place that we will be with God and see God without any distraction. No, this is paradise. And Isaiah is saying this is a paradise we can work together with God to achieve. A paradise of community. A paradise where all of us look out for everyone and nobody is left behind. Isaiah says that God is going to create something new, and God did. God became one of us, and took on flesh, and dwelt among us in the resurrection of Christ so that we can experience Christ today is the evidence that this is true. And the fact that worlds are coming together, countries are coming together, communities are coming together, is the picture of a dawning paradise, a paradise that we all have a role in bringing to fruition. A couple of examples or stories from my work here. Before I started pastoring here, my wife worked here. And she was in the office one day when an elderly lady came in and said, "My husband has recently passed away, and I've lost the person who cares for my yard. Is there anybody in the church that could come and help?" And because Brenda assumed that, of course, I could, and I wasn't busy enough, I suppose, she said, "Yes, my son and my husband will be there. When and where?" And we showed up to Phyllis Thomas's house and realized very quickly that it wasn't mowing the yard that she needed. Her neighbor would mow the yard, but her neighbor drove her nuts. She wanted somebody to talk to. And over the years, she became a grandma to me. My family is all spread out all over the country. We moved here like many of you. We don't have any support from family here. My daughter Tatum was 4 years old. We were seeking family. We were seeking community when we moved here. And Phyllis is one of the grandmothers who adopted us as we adopted her. And fortunately, as things do, her body started to break. Literally, she broke a hip. And as soon as that healed, she broke a leg. And as soon as that healed, she needed heart surgery. And it got to the point where even though we were doing the best we could to make her home safe, she really couldn't live there anymore. And her daughter finally convinced her to sell and move to California, to San Francisco, a place many of us would consider paradise. In fact, a place many Americans consider paradise. You can't even hardly buy a house there. And Phyllis gets there as soon as the heart surgery was over, and as soon as she healed enough to go, her daughter had arranged everything, and she arrives. And every week for 3 months, she called me, telling me exactly how miserable she was and how she wanted to come home and would I please pray for her. And we prayed for the same thing every week, that she would experience God's presence and peace and that she would come to find joy, things like that. Now, one of the special parts of Phyllis is Phyllis always cared for this group of people who are the losers in life. For as long as anybody can remember, this group of people have been considered the lost ones. And then a miracle happened, and the Cubs won the World Series. And I had to call Phyllis right away because this is her life. The Cubbies were her life. And when I called her the Friday after the Cubs won, I heard a second miracle. Phyllis was vibrant, filled with joy, absolutely wonderful to talk to. She said, "Eric, life is so good. I finally found a church that I love. I finally am making friends." Now, when she moved there, she loves cats. All she could do is complain about how much she disliked the cats in her daughter's apartment. When she moved there, all she could do was complain about how she didn't like the new apartment her daughter had set up for her. Today, It's the most wonderful apartment. It's got room for people to come visit. And if anybody wants to come visit her, she's willing to invite you into her home. It was a joyous, joyous conversation. Paradise through community. A year ago, I was visiting with one of the gentlemen in our congregation, Herschel Schneider, at our men's breakfast on Tuesday morning. I said, "Herschel, I really would like to see this room evolve into a sanctuary on Sunday mornings. And part of the challenge is I got to stand in front of this old music stand that's beat up." And Herschel said, "All right, let me think about it." And about a month ago, I had totally forgotten that I'd had the conversation. Herschel comes in, puts his arm around me and says, "I found some walnut." And I didn't know what he was talking about. And he said, "For that pedestal." I said, "Oh, great, Herschel." And about 3 weeks later, I come into church and Herschel's standing there. And if you know Herschel, he always wears bib overalls and he's always got a smile on his face. And he's standing there in his bib overalls in front of the church office. And he's got a grin on his face like you wouldn't believe. And he puts his arm around me again and he says, "I got to show you something." And he brings me in and he shows me our new podium. And he gets down on his knees and he shows me how he's got leveling devices on the bottom of it. And he stands up and he says, "I wanted to make it so it was beautiful, but it just blends in. So it's got these really thin rails." And then in a way only a 90-year-old guy can do, he said, "Eric, there's no front on it. You can't scratch yourself." What a joy it is to be part of this community. What a joy it is to have friends like Herschel and like Phyllis. What God is calling us into is a paradise of community. And the promise is there. The promise that if we follow Christ, we will begin to experience a little piece of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. The challenge and the blessing, the challenge and the gift is that Jesus expects us to participate. And what an awesome gift that we get to participate in the work that God is doing on earth. The vision of Isaiah will happen whether we participate or not. We can stand at the side and watch it happen. Or we can get actively involved and help it happen for our children and for our grandchildren. It's going to come, but I want my kids to see it. How about you? On the words, I offer a modern version of an ancient creed, one of the most ancient creeds, and I ask if you will join me in reciting this creed, written in about the year 250. I believe in God the Father, creator of the heavens and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, under Pontius Pilate was crucified and buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead and ascended to heaven. Yet Christ is with us, the living face of God. He will also come again in glory to make all things new. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the power of God, who matures us in our faith. I believe in the Holy Church, which is the body of Christ. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, so that we may live abundant lives. I believe in our resurrection into eternal life with God. Amen.
Thanks once again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 each Sunday morning. We'd love to see you here. Grace and peace, y'all.